Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Yes, and thank you, Papaya, for that wonderful tuning in. Yes. It's so nice to be able to take a moment, some heart for a while, and just feel the Spirit. Feel the Spirit in this place. Feel the Spirit in your heart. Feel that Spirit moving in your life. And in all of your affairs, sometimes we just have to stop and acknowledge it, you know, and recognize it. Just how blessed we are. Turn to somebody and tell them, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, we've got to see it, call it out. Ah, but you know, you can clap if you want to. I feel the Spirit wants to move you. All right. We're clapping for our blessings. Yes, we're clapping for our blessings and we're acknowledging the presence of God at work. So I want to, before I begin with my lesson this morning, and I wanted to take the time to also offer blessings, for Tracy, to hold Tracy, our AV coordinator. We want to hold her in the light of healing and the light of energy of our consciousness. Thursday, while she was working, trying to get things all together, she tripped and fell and broke her either foot or ankle and her lower leg. So, no, it's all right. I'm getting ready to call for prayers and blessings for healing. Now, come on, true students. We want to see her. I'm asking you to see her healed. Quickly and completely, so it should be, oh, right? It's an opportunity. See, all these things that occur, calamity, they are simply opportunities for us to speak the truth. It's an opportunity for us to stand on the truth. It's an opportunity for us to declare the truth, either for ourselves or for someone else. So we should be thankful that she tripped and broke her foot and ankle, because now we get to pray for her. Oh, I think this is so wonderful, though. But I do want to take the time to hold her and ask you to hold her in consciousness, because it all happened the night before the concert on Thursday. Right? Wednesday. Right, so two nights before the concert. And, you know, but she was such a trooper because she came on Thursday, Cass, somebody wheeled her here, and she got all the mics in place, made sure her team was in place. And so I just wanted to thank her for that. But I was thinking, you know, isn't that the way life is sometimes? Sometimes you can be just moving along your path, minding your business, right? Doing your work, and all of a sudden, wham, something pops up, right, and causes you to stumble and fall. Or maybe if you don't fall, but at least it causes you to stumble. Or maybe something comes up that takes you to take a few steps backwards, you know. Or maybe something comes up that actually stops you in your tracks. I recently had a stop you in your track experience. So all of a sudden, you know, it comes out of nowhere. But life has stumbling blocks, and it has trials and tribulations, and it has, as Arsenio Hall used to say, things that make you go, right? It's something that's going to cause you to pause for a minute. Or to stop and to assess what's happening in your life. And as I thought about it, you know, we have to come to the understanding that there are few or no easy roads or straight paths that we can take. Well, there's one straight and narrow path, but the Bible says few there are who find it. One straightened path. But for the most part, you know, there's not an easy road or a straight path. Life, this journey called life that we are all on, is going to have its fair share of surprises and struggles and situations and just plain stuff. Life has some stuff on the path. So it's not that we're going to be, you know, even when you have this great, tremendous spiritual awakening, because I feel I'm in the midst of a deep spiritual awakening. It does not mean, however, that all of my problems, all of my stuff is going to simply vanish. But what it does mean is I'm going to be able to handle it all differently. Because how we handle it, the struggle, the situation, the surprise, the unexpected, the perceptions of life, how we handle it is key. How we see it is going to color our experience of it. That's a basic truth understanding. We think, no, the experience is coloring how I'm seeing it. And I say, no, how you're seeing it is coloring how you are experiencing it. Did not Jesus the Christ tell us that in the world you will have many trials and tribulations, but take heart or be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, right? So we're not going to get a free ride to Nirvana or just, you know, paradise. We're going to have some ups and downs and some bumps in this road, but we should take heart. We should be of good cheer because there is the ability to overcome the world. We're in it, but not what? Of it. We're going to be in it, but not of it. So in other words, what he's saying, if he says this, there must be some kind of way to get through the trials and the tribulations and the stumbling blocks that pop up along our way. That they must serve some purpose of some kind for some reason in the end, right? And yet, we might be asking ourselves, well, what purpose could a stumbling block serve on my path? What purpose could this trial or this tribulation bring me? Well, Jesus the Christ offers this teaching, and it is found in John 11, verse 4 through 10. Now, Jesus had just been told that his good friend Lazarus was very, very sick. And I'm reading from the Amplified version, and I'm reading, let's see, 11:4. So, when Jesus received the message, he said, "This sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to glorify God and promote his glory, and the Son of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it or by it." So he's already trying to define, okay, this thing, this sickness is not going to really end it. There's a purpose to it. There's a purpose to this trial. There's a purpose to this tribulation that not only Lazarus is experiencing, but his sisters and his old friend Mary and Martha and everybody in the community. And its purpose is for the what? Glorifying of God. So, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when I was reading the scripture last night, I said, you know, usually the main character in this particular one, we focus on Mary, who sat at the foot of Jesus getting the teachings. But it was Martha who was complaining and moaning and groaning, and Mary ain't doing no work and she's not helping me. Come on, Jesus, why don't you tell her? But it says here, now Jesus loved Martha. I love that. He could see something in it with all this angst that she had in her. And it says, so Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were his dear friends, and he held them in loving esteem. Therefore, even when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he still stayed 2 days longer in the same place where he was. Now, he loved them, but he's going to stay a little longer. He doesn't rush right out because he knows that that sickness has a what? A purpose. So it says, then after that interval, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back again to Judea." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews only recently were intending and trying to stone you. And you're thinking of going back there again?" And Jesus answered, "Are not there 12 hours in the day? Anyone who walks about in the daytime does not stumble, because he sees by the light of this world. But if anyone walks about in the night, he stumbles, because there's no light in him. The light is lacking to him. And then the story goes on, of course, where he arrives and he calls Lazarus forth from the dead, unwraps, and it proceeds. But I wanted to stop here because I thought that this particular scripture was very, very clear for us. It's plain and simple that stumbling blocks may arise on your path, but they arrive and arise to show you that something is missing, that there's something that you can't see because your light is lacking. He said, if you're walking around in the daytime, you have light and you can see. That light in you is strong and you can see your way and things are fine. But if you walk around in the night, you're going to stumble because you cannot see. So we're walking around oftentimes in the dark, stumbling and bumping into things, bumping into people, bumping into situations, bumping into circumstances that actually have a purpose. And that is that they need our attention. They need our light. They need the light of our awareness. But when you are unaware, you know, you just keep bumping into stuff. When you're unaware, you're more than likely than not to keep tripping over the same thing. Tripping over the same lessons over and over until you get a clue or you actually turn on the light of your awareness that something is calling your attention. Turn to somebody and tell them, get a clue. Get a clue. Get a clue. Because sometimes we haven't got a clue, right? We just keep bumping into situations. And you mean, here it is again? Why am I doing this? You keep knocking your head. You're stumbling around in the dark and you haven't got a clue. You're not paying attention to something that's calling your attention. So you need to look in your life right now and see if there is something that is causing you to stumble. Something that you keep bumping up against and pay attention to it. See it, look at it, because unless you look at it, unless you are aware of it, that is the only way you're going to be able to take that stumbling block and turn it into a stepping stone, right? That's what we want to do. There's a purpose. Our stumbling blocks should become our stepping stones that take us to a different place, a higher place, a higher revelation, a higher understanding. But we've got to see that, right? Now, here's another even more poignant picture of a stumbling block that is offered by the Apostle Paul. Now, Paul, as you know, was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the strict religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were the ones who were responsible for making sure that people observed the law, that they kept the law. They were lawyers. That's where the term lawyers come, right? They were lawyers. And that is, they were to keep the law and to make sure everybody else kept the law, although they couldn't keep the law, but they were going to make sure you kept the law. And so Paul was a Pharisee, and he was also a very well-respected Jew who ended up, of course, as you know, who persecuted the Christians until he had his transformation, until he had his awakening. And so Paul, now, after he's had his conversion and his awakening, he's pretty much concerned with the Israelites and the Jews as to whether or not they're going to be saved, whether or not things are going to turn around for them, whether or not that they're going to be able to see a higher purpose, that it's not just about all the laws. It's not just about the letter of the law, but it's more about the what? The spirit of the law. So he was concerned because they had so many laws, and most of them felt that they were very righteous, and that if the righteousness came when you just were able to obedient to the law, then you were considered righteous. So they were so busy trying to make sure that they were obedient to the law, but there was something else happening that they were missing. So Paul is concerned about this. They believed, of course, in that day, they believed that they were the chosen ones and the chosen people. And as a result, they felt that they could do things their way. Do it their way. And they had a disregard for Gentiles or the non-Jews who were not chosen. All right? And so listen to this particular passage. And I'm reading from Romans chapter 9, verses 32-33. And I'm reading from the Bible called the Message. So it says, well, how can we sum this up? All those people that didn't seem interested in what God was doing actually embraced what God was doing as he straightened out their lives. And Israel, who seemed so interested in reading and talking about what God was doing, missed it. How could they miss it? Because instead of trusting God, they took over. They were absorbed in what they themselves were doing. They were so absorbed in their God projects that they didn't notice God right in front of them, like a huge rock in the middle of the road. And so they stumbled into him and went sprawling. Isaiah again gives us the metaphor for pulling this together. He says, careful, I've put a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion, some scriptures say in the Jerusalem, a stone you can't get around, but the stone is me. If you're looking for me, you'll find me on the way, not in the way. I love that. And it goes on powerful. This is a wonderful scripture. Because it's telling us, there's something going on whenever I think that life is about, you know, me doing all the right things and being perfect. And, you know, remember I told you I thought I couldn't become a minister because I wasn't perfect. I wasn't, you know, doing every little thing. And then God said, that's not going to happen ever. So you might as well come on board. I've called you. Right? If you're on this plane, you have something to learn and grow through. That's just the way it is, right? So we do the part. But what this is saying, though, is that, you know, sometimes a stumbling stone is placed right upon your path. And it's placed on your path so that you can find and see God, especially if you've been doing life on your own. Especially if you've been doing things in, you know, you had your, he calls it your God projects, right? You were doing things on your own and rarely acknowledging or turning to God. Or sometimes a stepping stone may be placed in your path because sometimes we're trying to look spiritual, right? Let's see if I can pray. I happen to like to pray like this because it helps my energy. But, you know, I'm not praying like this for you. I'm praying because it feels right for me to have it in my heart. But sometimes people, So sometimes we want to look spiritual or do those things. Because that's what the Pharisees, they want to make everybody think that they were looking like they were righteous and doing the right things. Or sometimes we want to do what others think are spiritual and yet we miss the point, right? We may miss spirit unfolding in our hearts because our heads are in the way. See, the Pharisees' heads were in the way. It was all an ego trip for them. Because when, you know, the people had to take care of them, and they got to be puffed up, and I'm a Pharisee, a lawyer here, you're wrong, I'm right. So sometimes the head gets in the way. And that we can't then feel the Spirit. We can't let our heart begin to flow. God's trying to rest in our hearts, trying to live in our hearts, trying to take us to a life in a different level, and we're being heady. We're trying to analyze our way to God. So you can't think your way to God. You can't. Even in New Thought, when we say, you know, you've got to watch all your thoughts, and you can do that to help your consciousness, but you can't think your way to God. You must feel the presence of God. You must have a realization of the presence of God. And that starts in your heart, not necessarily in your head. So sometimes, you know, we're in the way of our own selves by letting this mind kind of say, well, this is not right, or you've got to do it this way, and you're not right. And we start judging and analyzing and putting you over here in this category. And life becomes so hard at that point. We become very Pharisaical, right, in our spiritual growth. You know, this is the way you're supposed to do it. Well, it may be true, but this is the way it is. And the moment. Well, it is in the moment. So there's something going on here. Sometimes we have to work with what's before us. And I love how the Message put it. He said, Isaiah said it, and it was Paul quoting Isaiah. And he said, Isaiah said, careful. Be careful. You want to be so righteous. You want to look so good, but be careful, because I've placed a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion. And some verses say on the road to Jerusalem. You know, you want to get to the place of peace, but there's a huge stone sometimes on your way to peace. Have you ever found that? Or when you pray for divine order, all hell breaks loose, right? You pray for peace and, oh, Lord, there's conflict in her. So sometimes on your way to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, there's a stone there. He said, I put a huge stone on the road to Mount Zion and the road to Jerusalem, a stone that you can't get around. But the stone is me. I love it. The stone is me. And if you're looking for me, you'll find me on the way, not in the way. See, that's so powerful, because God is never in your way. If God is never in the way of your life, he is the way of your life. You understand? God is not necessarily something that you're trying to get around. God is going to help you get through and around life, not him. And so if we somehow go about forgetting and ignoring the divine, you can rest assured you're going to stumble. You're going to stumble, and you may even fall. But when we stumble, that stumbling is an opportunity for us to recognize and finally stop and see that the presence of God is in our life. God is never in your way. He is your way. So this is what we're here to do. We're here to practice how to walk this road, this good road of life, and how to do so without stumbling and falling and tripping over ourselves. When you can put your faith and trust in God and lean not unto, you see, he said that they were all trying to do it their way. The Pharisees had their God projects. But when we can learn to lean not unto our own understanding, then things will turn out for our highest good. Whatever trials and tribulations that you may be going through, there is a way to turn that stumbling block into a stepping stone. So first, you've got to be able to see. When you're traveling and something pops up, you've got to be able to see what that stumbling block is trying to tell you, because there's a message in it. There's a lesson in it, right? So once you recognize that you have come to a place in your journey, in your travel through life, that is causing you to stop for a moment, you've got to first see what the stone is telling you. And then by shedding light on it, or giving your attention, or giving your awareness on this situation, once you've stopped and you recognize that this is something for me to see, something for me to look at, something for me to deal with and experience. At that point, you then begin to trust in God. Because the scripture that I just read said that they had forgotten all about God. They were doing their own thing. And God said, well, I'm gonna trip you up. Uh-huh. I'm gonna make you stop and recognize what me, acknowledge me. So when you recognize that there's something that's causing you to stop, pause, or whatever, you recognize also, begin to turn toward God immediately. Recognize, ooh, this might be God calling. So you stop and you turn to God and you have faith that God is and will provide whatever is needed to move you in the right direction. Maybe you didn't need to go left. You're about to take a wrong directing choice. And God's like, let me put it over here so you can go over here. Right? So what this is maybe somehow this thing that's coming up is to show you that there's another course, another direction, his direction, God's direction. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him, and then he shall direct your path. It's plain and simple. See, there's a lesson and a blessing in every situation. There really is a lesson and a blessing. And we have to train ourselves to begin to look for it and see it and acknowledge it and call it. You might have to search a little bit. That's okay. But when you become an ardent metaphysician, you recognize, okay, you know what? There's something for me to see here. There's a lesson here. And I know that there's a blessing and I'm going to find it. So you begin then to use that situation to look for the lesson and the blessing, and then to use those things to plant your feet on higher ground. Or maybe you're going to use the lesson and the blessing and the stumbling block, whatever it is, to change your course if that's what's needed. Or maybe you're going to use it to stop you in your tracks if that's what's needed. Because sometimes we are moving too fast. Life has just started. Have you felt it yet? Whew. Fast, speeding up. And we are trying to keep up and moving. We're disoriented, making decisions, not being present, not being conscious. Life is moving fast. Something comes out and it's obsolete. Within 6 months, something new is out. It's very fast. And so sometimes when that happens, we miss the point of life. We're so busy trying to do life, we're not living life. And we miss the point of life. And so sometimes a good stumbling block is just the thing that's needed to cause us to stop for a moment, to pause for a moment, look around and see what's going on here. Especially if that stone that has shown up is simply God. God on the way, not God in the way of your life, but God on the way as you travel life. God moving with you on your path, moving with you on your journey. In fact, ordering your steps as you walk the way of life, guiding and directing you from on high. Our task is to keep our eyes on spirit, right? To keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the truth. And then when we reach a stone, when we reach an obstacle, when we reach a challenge, an unexpected event, you're fired, your beloved one dies, your children are on drugs, whatever it is, whatever hits you, when that happens, you're not taken outside of yourself. Those things that would cause you to fumble, you simply begin to see, this is a stepping stone. This is not my stumbling block. This is a stepping stone. This is a situation that can take me to a higher place, a higher consciousness. It wasn't until when I was there with my little experience with the shingles, it wasn't until I really just said, you know what? Let me be present. And when Spirit said, you must find rest in the gratitude, I couldn't get that at first, but then finally I rested in the thankfulness that I was still here, alive, well, I could do that. When I could be present to that stumbling stone, that thing that caused me to stop in my tracks, I found the presence of God, and it was a healing energy. From that point on, I began to move. See, so what happens is, We've got to recognize that we've got to practice. Now, here's the thing. Don't get hung up or caught in identifying with the stumbling block. That's what happens. Don't identify with the challenge. Like, you know, oh, God, we get locked into identification with it. You must see it. You must look at it. You must be aware of what is taking place, but you don't become the thing. You don't get so lost in the stumbling block that you can't see God. So what we do simply instead is we take ourselves higher. We see that as a stepping stone that's going to make us stronger, that's going to move us into a higher level of consciousness, a higher perception. In the world, you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When you become practiced at turning your stumbling blocks into stepping stones, you will have overcome the trials, the tribulations, and the limitations. See, you were meant to be an overcomer. So this is our journey, and we are here to travel the path well. Travel well and to leave no stone unturned. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste. Wonderful.